Well, good evening. Shall we just pray before we come to God's word again? Lord, thank you for the privilege of hearing your voice spoken to us. Lord, I pray that you would open up your word, that you open up our hearts to receive what you have to say to us, and that we'd respond and be changed by your word. Would you give me the words to say, inspire me, and that you would speak through me. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking through the book of Malachi over the next few weeks in the evening services. And we're going to spend 3 weeks looking at the first half of Malachi. That's in August. And then in November, we're going to look at another 3 weeks at the second half of Malachi. But before we look at the first few verses, let's just look at the background to this book. So we don't know who Malachi was, but we do know that his name means my messenger. It actually says it in the footnote. That's what the word means. And it's interesting to know that the word messenger occurs 3 times in the small book. And Malachi was certainly was a messenger, but he was no ordinary messenger. And like the prophets that had come before him, he was God's spokesman. And he spoke God's word to the people who desperately needed to hear his word. And how do we know that? Well, as you read through the book of Malachi, we just see that 47 out of a total of 55 verses in this book are God directly addressing his people in the first person. So this is his message to them. And Israel was God's chosen people, and they were the ones that he had set aside to receive his blessing. They were his children. And the fact that God spoke to Israel in this account that we have here proves that he cared for them, even though most of them had turned away from him. And he loved them enough to the point to point out where they were going wrong. And he pleaded with them to turn back and to experience his love and his protection. And we're going to see as we work our way through this book that there is a cost to turning away from God. And in fact, about a century before this time, the Jews were brutally attacked and taken as slaves by the powerful Babylonians. And this was God's judgment against them for turning away from him. And this book is written about 80 years after they returned from captivity. And the temple had been rebuilt, the city walls were standing once again, and it should have been a time of rejoicing in God's faithfulness and his protection. But instead, God's people turned away from him, as they had often done before. And so here in Malachi, this is God's last plea to his people. And in his great love, he speaks to his people and calls them to repent and to follow him. And it's a call of repentance from lax and hollow religion. And it also shows the way back to a genuine, enduring faith in a God who does not change. And it's important to note that this is God's last word to his people before we see Jesus appear on earth 400 years later. Now, although this was spoken to the Israelites hundreds of years ago, not thousands, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have anything for us today. Because as believers, we are the new Israel. And this means that God has something to say to us through the book of Malachi. So let's just read through the passage again. So that's chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. It says, The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yes, I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. So firstly, our first point this evening is that God loves his people. At the very beginning, in verse 1, it tells us that this book is an oracle of the word of the Lord given to Malachi to tell the people. And the word here, translated oracle, comes from a Hebrew root, which means to bear a burden. And Malachi is carrying the burden that is on God's heart. It's a burden that he wants to share with his people Israel. And the verses that follow introduce a pattern that we'll see throughout this book. Repeatedly, we see that God says, "You've done this." And then goes on to say, "I know that you will claim ignorance and say, 'Well, how have we done this?'" And then God responds by saying, "Listen, you know what I'm talking about, and it's got to stop." And so throughout Malachi, we see over and over again that the lies the Israelites are telling themselves are nothing but empty excuses. And throughout this book, God shows them that they are badly mistaken and that they have rejected God. And they had a lifeless and a careless approach to their relationship with God. And these opening verses show us why this is such a terrible and ignorant thing to do. It was a terrible thing because it assesses against the fact that God loved them. It says so at the beginning of verse 2. God had been showing his love to Israel in dramatic ways for centuries. For those of you who have been here, we have recently been looking at the life of Abraham in the evening services. And God made a covenant with Abraham. And it was an everlasting covenant that set aside Israel as God's chosen people. And it was the beginning of his plan to build an eternal kingdom. And he made this covenant with Abraham and his family because he loved them. And later, as you know, in the Old Testament, we see another great covenant, one that God gave to Moses. And this covenant was given after God, in an act of love, rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And after God rescued them, he gave them his law. And this law explained how God wanted his people to live and worship him. And this was an act of love. God knew what was best for his people, and he wanted them to experience life to the fullest. And obeying his commands would achieve this. But how did Israel respond? Well, time and time again, they turned away from God. And more than that, they changed his laws to better suit their sinful lifestyles. But even in their rebellion, God didn't give up on them. And now, in Malachi's time, God reminded his people that he loved them. And now, this makes me look at the Israelites and say, you know, what short-sighted, foolish people. Why can't they see that they're being idiotic? And then I look at the last week of my life, and even though I know that God loves me, he made it clear by coming to earth and saying on the cross that it is finished. And I don't have to offer a lamb as a sacrifice to get rid of my sin that separates me from God. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he sacrificed himself on the cross in my place once and for all to remove my sins and make me right with God. But I think of how I turn away from God so many times. And time again this week, I've trusted my own judgments over God's. I've read his word and then conveniently forget what he said to me. And I've questioned whether he knows what's best for me. And like the Israelites did, I've tweaked God's laws to make them fit into the way I want to run my life. And if I stop to truly think about the fact that God loves me enough to die for me, then I spend less time ignoring him and instead sit at his feet and give everything over to him to rule and direct. So have you found this to be true for you ever? What does the love of God mean to you? Is it something that you acknowledge and then shelf in the back of your mind? You and I need to keep the love of God at the forefront of our minds. It needs to set our hearts on fire. I was barbecuing a few weeks ago, and I noticed that a piece of coal had not been lying with the other burning pieces. and because of this, it had not started burning like the others. And I moved it onto the other burning coals, and within minutes, it began to burn itself. And our hearts are like burning coals in a barbecue. Once they are on fire, everything that touches it also ignite. And the source of the fire in our hearts that affects everything that we do is the love that God has for us. And it changes the way we think, changes the way we speak and act, changes everything. And without that source of love, our heart grows cold. And our Heavenly Father loves us as his children. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." What an incredible thing that is. And then it goes on in 1 John, in chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, it says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God has showed us his love in the most powerful way. He sent his Son to die and take the punishment that we deserve. So let's remember God's love for us. Let's thank and praise him for what he has done to make us his children. And if the truth of Jesus dying on the cross for you no longer stirs your heart, then ask God to make his love known to you in a fresh way. Pray to him and ask him to open your eyes to clearly see his incredible love for you. Don't be like the Israelites who, instead of experiencing God's love, asked, "How have you loved us?" They doubted his love, even though God so clearly showed it to them over the years. When you truly feel the weight of God's love for you, it will burn in your heart and it will overflow into every part of your life. And when that happens, those around you will see God's love at work in you. So that's just a reminder of God's love for us. Our second point there is then the evidence of God's love. So God tells Israel that he loved them. And how did they respond? Well, we touched on it already. They said, "Well, since when have you loved us? Just show us one example of your love for us." And God responded by saying, "I set you apart. Jacob was the one I chose to love. He is your forefather. The love I showed him and the blessing that he receives is the same love and blessing that you get to experience as my people. More than that, the nations around you have been rejected, but you have been chosen. Edom has received my anger and judgment, but in contrast, you have received my love, my blessing, and my protection." Israel looked at the people around them, and their thoughts, are they any worse off without God? And they doubted whether there was any benefit to being God's chosen nation. Now, there is danger that we can find ourselves in a similar situation. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves looking at the lives of non-Christians around us and think, are they any worse off than us? What difference does it make if I'm a Christian or not? And the answer is that it makes all the difference in the world. Those who are part of God's people, those who are not a part of God's people are like walking corpses that experience no lasting peace or purpose. And beneath the facade of confidence and so-called freedom, their souls ache because they feel lost, but they don't know why. They feel broken, but nothing they do seems to fix their brokenness. In contrast, if you're a child of God, your heart rests in the peace that your soul has found ultimate rest by being united to God. You've been brought from death to life. The almighty, everlasting, one and only God lives in you. So remember this as you compare yourself to the non-Christian people around you. Not only so that you realize the privilege of God's love for you, but also to remind you that your friends and your family need God. And as together as their lives may seem, they are incomplete and in need of great Savior. And we see in these verses that the nation of Edom was stubborn and arrogant. And they thought they were in control of their lives and they could do whatever they wanted. Edom said that they will rebuild the ruins despite what God does. They treated God as if he had no ultimate say on their lives. And that's similar to the people we see around us today. They think that they are in charge of their lives, and they do whatever they want to please themselves. They ignore God, or don't even believe that God exists, and they call the shots and live the way that they want to. And that is a dangerous place to be, because the Edomites, God said, he would tear them down. And that is the consequence of wanting nothing to do with the living God. And we as God's people see what God is doing, and we need to turn to him and acknowledge him as the king. And as we see God working in power like he said he would, we will respond by praising him. And that's how this passage ends. It says, "Great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel." We declare God's glory when we see him at work in the world. And he is the one who deserves all the praise and honor. So you might be asking, like the Israelites did, how have you loved me, God? You might have had a particularly difficult week, and you're wondering, well, where is God in it all? But when you go through difficult times like this, remember that if you are a child of God, he does love you very much. And he has showed his love to you in the most powerful way possible, through Jesus dying on the cross to take away the punishment that you deserve. So you remind yourselves of this and let your heart respond in thanks to God. And we're going to see as we make our way through the book of Malachi that God shows his love for his people. That's sort of an introduction to our walk through Malachi, and just to show you God's love and what an incredible thing that is and how it should ignite our hearts and our souls. So with that in mind, we're going to stand and sing, "Here is love, vast as the ocean." Let's stand and sing.